Hello, good people, and welcome to another episode of the Brunswick Beer Collective. And this week we are, well, right now we're in the Steam Packet Hotel in Williamstown in Melbourne, which I'll admit I've never been here before, although I've never actually been to Williamstown either. But it's on the coast, and so it's really nice.
It's on the coast. There's yachts and blue skies
and water. More yachts and
wind.
Yeah, lots of wind. Lots of wind. We intended to record outside, and then it was pretty much just like, well, for those of you who've actually listened to the windy episode we did on at City Lane HQ, we don't recommend recording in the wind. But I've moved on there. So with me today is Paul Christoph.
Good afternoon.
He's back after his, 2 weeks away where Annabelle was playing Christoph. And we're missing Jeff, who has called in sick. I know.
Yeah.
We all think he's weak. You all think he's weak. Do get in touch and let him know. Exactly. We expect a certain level of abuse. And, you know, it's a requirement, really.
Yeah, I can't get angry.
No.
I'm not angry.
But maybe we're going to have to both be angry on Jeff's behalf.
We can.
Yeah.
What can we be angry about?
I'm not really sure.
It's a beautiful day. We're in a great location and we're drinking nice craft beer.
And we should talk about the craft beer.
We should talk about the craft beer because
that's actually important.
Something I can talk about.
Well, I mean, right now we're listening. Right now we're drinking. I've never seen it before, but I'd seen the photos. It's one from a brewery called
Venom. Well, Venom. Is the brewery Venom? I have no idea. So
I really don't. I mean, when I first saw it, I thought it must be named after that really awful Spider-Man villain.
Yeah.
Right. For those who need background, it was, I think, Spider-Man 3 of the first reboot. The first Spider-Man series. I don't think he made an appearance in the second reboot.
No, it was the third of the Tobey Maguire version. I always liked Venom, as a villain.
Yeah,
the comics.
Yeah. However,
there was no carnage.
However, just while we're talking about it, I quite like the beer. It's not trying to be anything too crazy. It's just trying to be a good solid golden ale, really.
Yeah, so it's good. So, okay, so that's this guy, Joel Drysdale.
Mm-hmm.
He was working as a rep at Moo Brew. He also worked as a rep at Toubrac Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And, what has he done? Him, his dad, and his wife are part of the Venom team.
See, I mean, I feel like that's kind of, it's one of those great things that highlights the importance of, doing the whole craft beer scene, where it's essentially, it is a big event with a lot of people sort of, everyone gets involved because, everyone likes beer.
Yeah, they brew out at Hawkers.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, we all know the setup at Hawkers is pretty amazing. The logo is designed by a Brunswick tattoo artist, Hal, from Green Lotus.
But it really is in a similar way to someone like Garage Project, how I've spoken about before, how I spoke with them and they were telling me how they purposely go out there and they'll find the local Wellington artists and that's what appears on their beer labels. And it's a really nice thing when you see sort of a similar sort of vibe happening in other locales, I suppose.
Yeah.
Good on them.
It's pretty cool, yeah. So we'll get back to the... Do we want to be a bit unorthodox? There's only two of us. Do we want to keep continuing talking about beer one?
Well, I think, let's break these
rules. Let's do it. Okay, let's break the rules.
What are other people saying about this?
What are other people? Let me find, now that I know who brews it, which would be interesting. So it's Venom by Venom.
And Venom people, if you're listening, get in touch. We'd like to talk to you.
Yeah, we like your first beer.
Yeah.
Which is a golden ale
called
the Venom.
Right. And I've actually been out to, as part of Ben's brew tours, I went out to Hawkers. And, Hawkers is the sort of place where they're such professional brewers that, if you give them the right recipe, I feel like they could, perform miracles. But then again, I guess if you give them the wrong recipe, then you'll just get, a keg of crap.
Yeah. I mean, they've got all the most state-of-the-art equipment. So, what are people saying about this? So, Steve B. at the Gertrude Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, a good one.
Steve, you put the nail on the head there.
Michael H. at Seaworks. Great balanced golden. A lot of people are liking it, but not really saying anything. Here we go. Jason at the Cornish Arms.
I know
pretty
the Cornish.
Pretty pasty, light mouthfeel, flat carbonation, cloudy. Doesn't really seem like a golden ale. Sauvin hops, MIA. He doesn't really like it. He only gave it a 3.75.
Well, I mean, it's above Kristoff. It's definitely above the Kristoff scale.
And Chris B, I don't know if this is a typo or not. He said, not my favorite font like the finish taste. So.
Oh, okay. So not his favorite font. In other words, I guess the label, maybe?
Yeah. For like the finish taste? Oh, you like. Punctuation is important, people. Not my favorite font, comma, like the finish taste, or but like the finish taste. Yeah. Poor sentence structure, Chris B.
Your criticism is intact, but you know.
Yeah, well, I had to get angry about something. Yeah.
But it's very much the, you know, let's eat grandma versus let's eat, comma, grandma.
Yeah, commas are important.
Yeah.
Hey, Brock likes it. Says, I'm happy. And then he's clarified with brackets with this beer.
Brock, well, whatever's
he
going
probably
on.
Didn't need any.
Yeah. Well,
that's probably excessive use of characters there.
Well, I mean, but in saying that, look, Brock, whatever's going on, we hope you're okay. You know, if you're only happy with this beer.
Yeah, what are you unhappy about?
Yeah. Perhaps don't get in touch, but talk to people.
Brendan F. at Junction, a bit of citrus and all good.
It's a nice touch.
Yeah. Christopher J. at Mrs. Palmer's. Interestingly, he's obviously got an interesting sale. He only gave it 2.25. But he said light, refreshing, easy drinking, a solid golden ale. So that comment suggests here's just a very harsh, harsh rating scale.
Well, I mean, okay, so.
But yeah, so I mean, the general consensus is, I mean, it's got an average here, 202 check-ins, 3.59 average. That's a solid Kristoff scale there. General consensus seems to be it's a just a solid golden ale.
And well, I mean, I think that brings up a really good point around, especially golden ales, because. I suppose, you know, when you think about a golden ale, you tend to think about quite mainstream sort of beers because they're quite accessible beers. So you think about, you know, James Squire do a golden ale. And you think about that. And hell, I used to drink James Squire golden ale all the time.
Whenever Cooper's Green wasn't available.
Pretty much, yeah. and so it makes you sort of think about and whether people, when they're rating, because I think this is a fantastic golden ale.
Yeah, it's really good.
But... the problem is that if I'm rating it against other golden ales, then I think it's sort of, it's probably a four. But I think in a lot of senses where people are rating these beers, they're rating it based on all the other beers that they have.
Yeah.
And it's probably kind of unfairly judged in that respect.
Yeah, it's not the, you know, Stone Ruin 10. Yeah, well, no.
No. And it's not trying to be. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's similar to, and I guess I had, we were talking about Hawkers earlier. So last night I had the, the Hawkers Pale. And it was, a mate of mine was doing the order and we just turned up to the bar and he goes, yep, I'll just go for the Hawkers Pale. And he didn't really think about who had made it. I knew who had made it, but he didn't. He just sort of like, he just saw it was a pale ale and he thought, okay, this is fine.
Great branding.
But the thing is, though, I mean, based on what we've been told by the guy who runs Hawkers, he was telling us that it's a sort of thing like, for example, making a Pilsner is so difficult to get consistently right. And it's the same with a lot of these other beers where, you know, it's sort of, yes, you can make them, but to make them on scale and make them right every time, I mean, that's sort of the thing. And so when he said to the barman, okay, I want the pale ale, it's almost like a contract where that it has to be exactly what he had just asked for and it has to taste exactly like a pale ale because he's not really walking around thinking, okay, that's a Hawker's pale ale.
He wants a good pale ale.
Yeah. And if it didn't live up to the standard of what a pale ale should be, then it would have just been a fail.
As opposed to the a brewer that we were talking about earlier this week that often sends beers to pubs that aren't at all like what the label says. And then even the same beer can vary wildly between batches.
Yeah.
And it just... they're never bad beers.
No.
But you... don't know what you're getting based on the description. And even if you've had that beer before, you don't know if a month or two later you're going to be getting the same beer.
Which...
it's not...
It's a risk in a lot of senses, isn't it? So, moving on from that. So, I was at a...
So we're not going to say what we thought of the beer?
Oh.
We haven't rated it.
Good point. All right. So, I think this is a great example of what a golden ale should be. It's light. it's interesting, but it doesn't try and overwhelm you.
Yeah. I agree. I'm giving it 3.5.
I'm giving it a 4.
Giving it a 4, wow.
Which, I don't know if we go halfway through. Jeff normally solves this problem.
So, well, we have to, so when there's only two of us, there's not a deciding vote.
No,
so it has to be middle, doesn't it?
3.75.
Yep.
All right, good work, Venom.
Yeah, look forward to seeing what you do next.
And so, I mean, I guess, you know, we've had beer number one already, but we haven't really talked about what else has been going on. I mean, I can, the one thing, so last night I was at a book award event, and it was really cool and it was really interesting. But it was quite strange where that you kind of, because you know how Mountain Goat has now been bought by Asahi?
Yep.
And, you know, in some respects, it's very much a case where, okay, you guys have been bought by Asahi, so now, you know, I can't drink Mountain Goat anymore or something, you know, if you're going to play that sort of game. But the other way of looking at it is that it kind of means that Mountain Goat has just sort of married, you know, your Australian cousins, and they're part of the family.
Yeah.
And so when I was at the bar, and I'm sort of last night, and I'm thinking, well, what do I choose? Instantly, I saw Asahi there, and all I kept thinking was, they seem to be trusted by people. Maybe I should get Asahi. I mean, my other option is Fat Yak.
I can't do Fat Yak. I just don't...
It's heavy and uninteresting, really, isn't it?
Yeah. I always feel not pleasant after drinking a pint of Fat Yak.
No, it was just... And in the end, I think I drank one Asahi and one Fat Yak anyway. But it was just... I don't know. It was an odd situation where that... because by association... with especially something you already knew, then suddenly you're thinking, oh, I guess Asahi probably aren't that bad, really. It was a nice feeling.
Yeah, well, they're always a solid option. A standard lager, but yeah. That's interesting. You know, years ago, I remember how the evolution of, almost the evolution of beer, or what we consider craft in a way, in this country, how it's changed. You know, when first turned 18, many back in the heady days of the
I don't want to remember that
of the early 2000s. Heineken.
Mm.
You got a Heineken or a Beck's.
Yes.
Wow, so the Heineken was cool. And then Beck's came out. I was like, whoa, that's really cool. And then I remember Miller's get for a while. I was like, hey, cool, Miller's. And then went to this bar once, and yeah, Asahi was like,
whoa.
So complete ignorance. It's like, well, Japanese people have beer. It's like, I didn't know there were beers in Japan. Like, I just didn't assume that was a thing. Which, completely ignorant back then, but...
we all were back then.
And then you kind of buy it and you're spending, you know, your $10 or whatever for a bottle of... You're like, cool, I'm drinking a Japanese beer. And then it's... And now, of course, Asahi's just ubiquitous.
Yeah.
We all are very aware that they're one of the largest beverage companies in the world and all that. But it's evolution in a relatively short amount of time. In less than 15 years.
But they just did it right.
Yeah, so beer ventures, though. I mean, my...
Well, this is important because you did this a few weeks ago.
I did this two weeks ago.
But then you have been conveniently absent for 2 weeks.
I've been at, well, to be fair, I flew back from Perth on the Monday, so I got in about 11 o'clock at night on Monday. So just missed the podcast, unfortunately, because WA not having daylight savings, which is a stupid, stupid move, means that you're 3 hours.
All of our listeners in WA.
Yeah, and I know which one of my friends voted against daylight savings.
Well, there was only one.
I started a Facebook page that was in jest, that was basically for people to join up and be against my one friend, who shall remain unnamed, that didn't like daylight savings. And
anyway,
that's beside the point.
Back to Perth.
I thought I was. I thought I'd missed out on WA Craft Beer Week, or WA Beer Week, actually, because it was on the week after I arrived. Of course, I get to Perth and realise, wait a minute, it starts on the Saturday.
And you were...
And I arrived on the Saturday morning.
Okay, well, I remember getting that text message from you where you essentially just had that had this photo. Look, it turns out it's WA Beer Week. And I'm like, you fucking planned this. You planned this entire thing.
Yeah, I mean, after having just done Sydney Beer Week 2 weeks earlier, it was pretty fantastic. So, yeah, it's really cool. There's this area called the Urban Orchard. It's across from the WA Art Gallery. And yeah, you got a beautiful view of the CBD. And yeah, there are all these little, you know, pop-up things set up with all the little craft brewers from all around the country. So managed to find enough beers that I hadn't tried while I was
that is
in
always
Sydney
a challenge.
Or tried in Melbourne, because there are a lot of Victorian and New South Wales brewers over there, which was it was pretty cool. And you know, your usual WA faces too. So it was it was impressive. It was just trying a few beers and chatting to the brewers. It was really cool.
So what was the highlight in terms of what you discovered, and what was, you know, what was great about WA Beer Week?
So the highlight for me wasn't actually a Beer Week event as such. I think something that's been discussed amongst us and even with other people I sort of know in the industry is that WA has never really had a good craft beer bar. And look, that's a statement that shouldn't be taken out of context. There are clearly bars in WA that sell a good selection of craft beers. There have been for many years. And the WA brewing scene is obviously amazing. Craft beer in this country kicked off in WA, and it's always had a very strong craft brewing scene. But I mean, just a bar that's really focused, the kind of bar that you see in Melbourne, your ale house, your tap house, the kind of place you see in Sydney, you know, 20 beers on tap, 100 beers in the fridge,
and
focused on craft beer.
It's similar to my quest around Europe to find the ale house of all these cities.
So Perth now has one.
All right. And it's not called the Our House.
It's not called Our House. It's called Petition Beer Bar, Petition Craft Beer Bar.
Partition or Petition?
Petition.
Got it.
Yeah. So they've actually got a wine bar as well. So I first walked into the wine bar, Petition Wine Bar. It's like, this has to be a craft beer bar, right? It's like, oh no, you need to go through those doors and, yeah, a few metres up there.
And then when you walked in, was it sort of like, you opened saloon doors.
Yeah. But it's a really cool space. So it's the old Treasury building, which has been abandoned for many years. So that building's been restored now. So beautiful, you know, Melbourne's GPO sort of thing. Arches, high ceilings, very...
And just full of craft beer.
Beautiful. And yeah, one of the sections is this craft beer bar.
That's fantastic.
And it's just a really, really cool space. And you get there and it's... Now I'm going to be... Yeah, it's 2 weeks ago, so I can't remember the exact number.
You can't remember it mostly because... not because it was 2 years ago, but because of what you were drinking.
Yeah, so from memory, it was 24 craft beers on tap. And there were several that I hadn't tried. There were some one-offs there that I don't think you'd be able to get outside of WA. I've certainly not seen them available. And it was just a... cool space. Excellent service. Really good food. And it was just great to be like... Finally, bang, this is now on the list of places when I go back home that I'll be making sure I get to every time I go back.
Well, I mean, I think it is sort of like you need that home away from home.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to craft beer obsessed people like us.
Yeah, no, I'm... next time I go back, there'll be not really a craft beer related thing, but Long Chim. So you've got David Thompson, the Sydney chef, who owns what is considered the best Thai restaurant in the world in Bangkok. So he was going to open another restaurant in Australia, and the guys that developed the Treasury actually managed to pull him in. So
pretty much you'll have like the trifecta of you can go off and have probably the best meal we're going to have in Perth, and then nick over and get all the good craft beer.
It's going to be, it's a really, really cool development. So something for everyone. Craft beer, wine, food,
they've
done well.
And, you know, the best part about this is because... You know, Melbourne and Sydney are so incredibly competitive about all this stuff. That means we'll see something very similar to that here. You know, give it a year at most.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody wins.
Back in Perth, it was it was very good. Of course, the night didn't end with craft beer. The night ended in a bar called Carnegie's that I used to frequent many times back in university days with the same people that I used to frequent it with drinking Jim Beam and cola.
Rock on.
That was very...
And I mean that in the most sarcastic way I possibly can.
It is ostensibly a rock bar. Yeah. But good times.
That was nothing but Carlton Draft.
There was no craft beer being consumed by that stage of the night. But no, if you're... if you're in Perth, or if you've thought of going to Perth, there's always been a lot of things to do, but there's now a now you get another reason, especially if you're a craft beer fan. You've got the breweries, and now you've got another really great bar to check out.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah. But
we should move on. Before we go into the next beer, I should mention that we are actually down in Williamstown for the Williamstown Beer and Cider Festival.
Ah, yes, we should mention that.
But, we're very, very curious about this. We haven't actually walked in yet. We're told it's about 5 minutes walk from where we are, but we figured we'd record now before we got to out of it to actually record.
Yeah, and the wind thing.
Exactly.
Because it is... incredibly look like windy. It's on the waterfront.
Exactly, which doesn't help our wind situation. But so we're kind of excited about this. So there's a few good breweries, but I think the key, and we'll talk about this next week as to what we thought of it. But the key here is the fact that there's going to be a lot of local breweries there, and it's sometimes nice not to run into the same old faces of Stone and things like that.
Yeah.
But it's going to be the local breweries, ones like Kaiju. And to me, Kaiju was sort of like an indie sort of brewery. And so you've also got Two Birds, and Two Birds are actually just up the road from here.
Yeah.
And so it's, I'm hoping, at least, this is in my mind, this is how I'm thinking, it's going to be quite a different experience to what we've had from something like, Bivana or yeah. Gabs or any of these.
Yeah, a bit of a different crowd as well, more of a local
sort of
crowd.
Locals serving locals.
Yeah, anyway, looking forward to it.
We've got our fingers crossed, so we'll report back on that one next week. But we should move on. And I know this has been a very, very unorthodox episode, but now we're actually, we're on to being number two, but it's actually number two. Look, this one's arrived, and the first thing Paul said to me as he was carrying it over was, "Don't worry, it's not Guinness." So what is it?
And I actually like Guinness, to be honest. I was in Europe.
Mm. If you're in Europe, then it would be like, hello, Guinness all the time.
In Australia, our water doesn't work.
I wonder whether that rule still applies.
It's water. I think it has to be water because the recipe is identical.
Mm. Well, that used to be the case, but I mean, so I feel like we've come a long way since... surely the technology has moved on enough that
you would think so.
We don't really have that problem anymore. But I don't really know.
Anyway. I haven't had Australian Guinness for a while.
No, good point.
That's not a problem that's going to be rectified now because this is not Guinness.
What is it?
This is the Porter by Colonial Brewing Company.
Okay. No, so I've never heard of them.
So it's with the most WA theme of today, mm-hmm. they are based down in Margaret River.
And, it's a fine area.
Yeah, yeah. And actually my growler that I have at home, that is from there.
Right.
So they do some nice beers. They do they don't really do anything crazy, but they do just solid kind of theme for today, isn't it? They're kind of just
solid doing it right
of what good beers.
Yeah, not riding the moondog path. Going for just something that's right.
Yeah, which we also really like.
Yeah.
It's not a criticism.
No, we like the experimentation, but sometimes it's just good to see when someone does it properly.
I don't like it when a brewery tries to do that.
Mm, mm.
Usually when they're trying to do a core range, they're trying to do some crazy stuff, and they generally end up doing both not great.
Yeah.
Go crazy or go traditional. And
well, it's very similar to a brewery that does do that well. So let's see, who is it? Noisy Miner. They have, that's the experimental branch of... the brewery that I can't remember. We can Google it.
Yeah.
But Noisy Miner, their other half, they do quite standard sort of beers. But then Noisy Miner is their, they're sort of like, this is what we're going to try. And it's like, in business, they'd call it their Skunk Works thing, where, that's how they come up with their entire, cutting edge sort of stuff, as opposed to being permanently cutting edge or permanently something else. But it's quite interesting.
Fortitude Brewing.
Fortitude, thank you. Great brewery.
Yeah.
But, okay, what do we think about this?
So it's I've had this before, the difference being this time around it's on nitro, which is why I made the Guinness comment, because it's got that head which...
And look, we've mentioned nitro before, but...
that's settling.
How does the whole nitro thing work?
Knew you were going to ask that. Yeah, didn't do my research. It's the a nitrous oxide instead of the carbon dioxide.
Okay, okay.
So instead of the usual carbonation, you get that it's a lot less carbonated. And that's why you get that kind of that interesting froth and that kind of that settling almost again, like it looks like a Guinness. Guinness on nitro would be very interesting because Guinness almost seems like a nitro beer when it's not using nitro.
That's true.
I wonder what would happen.
Look, if there's anyone out there who knows of someone doing Guinness on nitro, please let us know because it seems like something we need to find out about.
Yeah, would you have to sort of do the, you know, Guinness, the rules, but double the amount of time it takes to settle or something?
Yeah, would you have to get another beer in between getting your Guinness?
Yeah. People out there.
Yeah, tell
somebody
us.
Somebody do this.
Tell us. We need to find out. If there's a, you know, adventurous bartender out there who has a nitro tap and Guinness, give her a shot. Let us come down. Let us try it. We want to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is just a...
this is just a standard porter.
It's a standard porter. The nitrous oxide makes it creamy.
More portery.
That's another, very, I guess, defining characteristic of things that are on the nitro taps. You get that, so they're creamier beers, which works really well for this style.
And I suppose... You know, we spoke about in the previous thing and like for the previous beer about how, you know, we're basing, you'd base a golden ale on other golden ales, not on other beers. But I feel like it's going to be interesting just to hear what other people say, mostly because you look at it from the perspective that, okay, this is just a standard porter. But the problem is, I feel like the line is quite blurred between, you know, there's Baltic porters, there's all sorts of other porters. Will people be comparing the standard porter with other standard porters? Or will they be comparing it with, say, a Baltic porter or any of the random stone beers or anything like that?
Yeah.
What are people saying?
So what are people saying? So keep in mind, what people are saying is generally going to be off the non-nitro version. You've got Chris R., at Colonial Brewery. Do yourself a favour and get to this brewery. Best one I've come across in Marks.
Sweet of him.
Yep. What else we got? Here we go. This is Will Y at the Skinny Dog Hotel. It's Vegemite juice. All beer smells like piss, says my mate Cam. However, this beer is strong and bitey. Good for winter, bad finish. 3 stars.
Well, given your, it seems like you're fighting a cold, I feel like this porter could be the key.
Bobus K, no name, said similar to Guinness.
Maybe he's on the nitro too.
Mark E at the Royal Albert.
Marky, yeah.
On nitro, magic.
Hey, good work, Mark.
Yeah. So perhaps that's a... Because on the bar, I didn't check, but on the bar, on the little label that's on the tap, it did say, like, limited edition. So perhaps that's what's making it limited, is that they're only selling it at bars that...
That do nitro.
Do nitro. Anyway, Neil...
Either way.
...who hasn't checked it in at a location, says, tastes like the ancient liquor chocolates that Granny pulls out on Christmas Day.
God, that's one heck of a good grandma.
Yeah. Wardy at the Royal Albert, on nitro, pretty tasty.
All right, so... I just want to take a step back and because I guess it's something that we didn't really address when we started drinking this. Okay, so it's on nitro and we're talking about how obviously it's only for bars that have nitro almost. But this is a bar. We're at the Steam Packet, and it's quite strange really because you know it's an old fashioned sort of pub really. It's obviously a craft beer pub, but it's an old fashioned sort of place. I mean, if I look over. There's a picture of it from maybe 20 years ago, and they just had an oversized Carlton Draft thing above the door.
Yeah.
However, how many of these sort of pubs have adapted to the point where they actually have nitro?
Well, plaque on the outside says this building, 1896.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the ultimate thing where that it's evolved to that point where, look at us, we can do anything now.
From the outside, you wouldn't tell, but on the inside, some really good good beers, yeah.
It's difficult not to be a bit impressed.
Yeah, I love that that's a thing that's happening now.
But anyway, we should finish up. So what do we think about this?
So my previous rating was 3.5, but I think the nitro gives it an extra 0.25. So I'm giving it 3.75. It's just a really nice beer.
I think 3.75 as well. I think it's good.
So two beers, both good examples of their styles, both average out to 3.75. It's been a day about consistency.
See, but I don't know whether that means based on all that we have that were looking at through the same lens, because if they're perfect examples of them, then there should be like 4 or 4.5.
No, that's safe for exceptional.
Yeah, good point.
It's kind of like if you set yourself a challenge to do something really difficult and you succeed, you get a lot of points. If you do something that a lot of people have already done and you do it well, it's not as much of, arguably not as much of a challenge. Then there's the whole Marsden argument from Hawkers.
Yeah.
But that's a discussion for another day.
Alrighty, then we should finish up and we'll see you again another day.
Yeah.
So I've been Chris Shorten. With me has been Paul Christoph. Absent has been Jeffrey Chi. And until we talk to you again.
We didn't
really
need him, didn't we?
No.
We got to half an hour without him.
No, I know. We never ever get to our 23 minutes.
Jeff Bacon.
And we will talk to you all next week.
See you next time.